If we stopped right now, you've heard enough to encourage you and to keep you going. But I want to share for just a few minutes this morning the message that I think God has for us that I have been praying about since July. And, of course, the title of it is Faithful to Every Generation. When I began praying in the end of July, we already knew about the transition and the change. We'd known for a while, but we knew COVID-19 had kind of messed up the arrangement of things. But we knew anniversary was coming, and we assumed there would be changes by then. So I began to seek the Lord for God's for what God's word was. God always speaks, but do we hear and are we listening? God is a speaking God. God is a communicating God. And so very early on, God spoke to me so clearly about to talk about that the theme would be about his faithfulness. But now that's a huge topic, isn't it? There's a whole Bible with that. And so God began to speak to me specifically about faithful to every generation, to every generation. I said, okay, Lord. So I began reading and studying and praying more. And God led me, the Holy Spirit led me to this verse, Psalm 100, verse 5. And the whole verse is a beautiful verse. And God said, this is the theme for the anniversary. And so I said, okay, Lord. And it's from Psalm 100, verse 5. And it says, the psalmist says, for the Lord is good, his unfailing love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues to every generation. And so that's where our theme is from, faithful to every generation. And in this church we have, our church is actually a little bit younger perhaps than some churches. I think the most, as far as physical generations, I think we have three. Is that right? I think we have three generations represented. Garcia family, Gabay family, Gabay, that's the parents' name, Gabay Silverio, and the Cher family. But there may be, I don't know all of you and their backgrounds. Is that three generations, right? Have I missed anybody yet? Now, some of you, I don't know always about your families in the Philippines, so there may be three generations. Oh, and the Austria family as well. We've got three generations there as well, and there may be some others as well. And God really spoke to my heart about the generations of our family, but he also spoke of our families, but he also spoke to me about the church and how God is faithful to the generations of the church, because God is faithful to the generations of the church. And as I was praying and preparing, I'll be really honest with you, God had spoken so clearly that I had great confidence. I knew that this was God's word for us. But the beginning of this week, as I got into the details of preparing, my confidence fled, because I said, okay, God, what do you want us to know about your faithfulness? What do you want me to say? What's the message that you want me to share? I had nothing. I had nothing. And so being a teacher and being a preacher and being a pastor, I started thinking, I can say this, 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 and this, but I knew in my heart this wasn't what God was saying to us. So I really began to seek the Lord. God, what do you want to say to us about this? And I was thinking and jotting notes, and then Friday night, as I was stuck in a terrible traffic jam from Jim Sachoy all the way back out to Fineling, there had been there'd been some sort of wreck or something on Tolo Harbor, and so I was stuck for hours. And as I was stuck, I thought, okay, Lord, let me redeem the time. And so I was praying without any problem, because we were only going about 5 kilometers an hour part of the time anyhow, so I could easily pray and drive safely on the roads as well. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about this message. Don't worry. The beeping is the air con. We all know what the beeping is. And so the Lord began to speak to me about the message for us today. I said, okay, Lord, this is what you have to share to us. And I was really encouraged by that, because the Lord does speak to us. If you look all the way in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, if we read in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, there are 7 letters to 7 churches. And those letters are to us throughout the ages, But those letters are to those churches as well. And every single letter says something like, these are the words of Him. These are the words of Him, every letter. And so it is a message from God, and it's to the angels of the church, the messengers of the church, the pastors of the church. But it's for the whole church. And so God speaks. God has a message. And what the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart was, although those messages are for all of us, if you look at those, it's God's word. And so what we want is God's word. We don't want man's word. There are plenty of places where we can hear man's word. But what we must hear is God's word. What we must have is God's message. And we must have God's, not just his general message in his word, but we must have God's message to us at Lighthouse. And not only that, you must have God's message to you for your situation. You must have God's message to you for your family, for your generation. And if you are a parent or a grandparent, then you want God's message for the generations that come after you, right? Especially when you are Christians as well. We've got to have God's message, God's personal message to us. And I'm so encouraged, and I want to encourage you as well, that God speaks to you, and He speaks to us personally. Read Revelation chapters 2 and 3. These are the words of Him who... And then what comes next is something that's so specific and that's so direct, and it lets us know that God knows every church. God knows what their strengths are. God knows what their weaknesses are. God knows where they get an A+. God knows where they could do better. And there's always an encouragement. And as I looked at that, I was encouraged again that God knows Lighthouse this morning. God knows us. He knows where we are strong. He knows where we are weak. He knows where there's some things that we need to work on with the help of the Holy Spirit. And the wonderful thing is that He is there to help us. And so I want this, I trust that this morning it's a message of encouragement to us, even as it pushes us and moves us along, that as we, that as I follow the Lord and as I give the Lord's message, and I'll be very honest with you, the only infallible voice, the only infallible word in the church is God's voice, is God's word. I am human. I am fallible. But with all of my heart, with all of my energy, with all of my prayers, I am seeking the Lord for God's message to us as a church, for God's message to you as individuals. We must hear God if we are going to make it. You must hear God to you if you're going to make it. But we're fallible. God, however, is not. And so we follow after Him with all we have, and with all that we are, and with all the strength that we have. And if we miss it sometimes or get a little bit off, but we're following after God, God, the Holy Spirit, will bring us back. He'll bring us back. And I want to say something to the young people who are either sitting here or who are listening upstairs right now. I want you to know that God wants to speak to you. If you are in a Christian family, you are so blessed. And this morning you might say, you don't know my parents or my grandparents. You're right, I don't. But you're still blessed because we're all imperfect. And you say, if you knew what they, whatever, whatever. Guess what? If I talked to your parents or your grandparents, I wonder if they would say to me, if you knew what they, it may be that way. The thing is, we're all imperfect. We all have shortcomings. We all have weaknesses. But God is still faithful to us. And young people, I want you to know that God is a speaking God and He wants to speak to you. And I urge you and I encourage you to cultivate time with God, because God doesn't just want to speak to your parents to give you a word through them, although He does use wisdom of parents. God wants to speak to you, and if you will take time with Him, God's going to talk to you. And if you haven't yet learned to hear the word of God and the voice of God, the voice of God, you will. You'll begin, because God loves you and He's faithful to your generation as well. And so the message this morning is for us individually in our generations, but also in a generation, in a church generation, and in Lighthouse as well, as we have this theme, because God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us. Now, some of you, I'm so glad that B was encouraged this morning, and I saw how well God put it together. B gave that, did that little short poll this morning, right? How many of you are first generation, so forth and so on? So if I were to ask some of you right now, how many of you are first generation Lighthouse? A few of you would raise your hands, but not so many these days, right? If you are first generation Lighthouse, would you raise your hand? Yeah. Okay, so we look at that. Okay, now some of you, I think actually, I'm sorry. I didn't ask, I should be a good communicator. I didn't ask that the right way. Let me ask it again, right? Okay. How many of you were here in the beginning of Lighthouse? That's the way to ask it, right? Okay. Or right about the beginning. Raise your hand too. Okay. Right about the beginning. Okay. So take a look. These are the Old Testament Christians, right? Okay. These are the Old Testaments. I knew Keith. I've probably known Keith longer than anybody else. We were buddies way back in China and Beijing, way, way back when, and then he abandoned us in Beijing, and he came down to Hong Kong, but praise the Lord, he's been part of Lighthouse all this time. So think for just a minute about the first generation, because we're talking about faithful to every generation. I've heard about the beginnings of Lighthouse from Mom and Dad and from Brother Philip as well, and I know that it was a time of great excitement. It was something new. God was building something. God was doing something. It was a time of great sacrifice, right? A lot of sacrifice. There were huge bills. There were huge obstacles. And you looked at it, and it looked like the Red Sea, and it looked like the Great Wall. And you thought, how will we pass through? How will we get over? But God, as you were faithful, did it, right? Amen. God did it. And I think back to those days, because some of you, in those early days, a lot of you were not married yet. Chris wasn't married. Janice wasn't even in the church. Andreas wasn't married, although his beloved wife was in the church. I don't know if they were looking at each other yet. I'm not sure about that. Roy and Kay were in the church, but I don't know if they were looking at each other yet. I think they were. I think they may have been. And say again? Oh, from the beginning, they were looking at each other already. Ah, okay. So in this first generation, and I think back also, and I've already warned them that I was going to say this, and Daniel didn't mind. Back in those days, in that first generation, there were some men who had enough hair to have ponytails. Right, Chris? Hey, there we go. Right, Andreas? There you go. And I walked in this morning and I looked at Daniel's hair and I thought, it has gone from one generation to another. And I looked at Daniel and said, hey, Daniel, I like your haircut. He said, you do? And I said, yeah. But that was that first generation. But times change, right? And things go on. So Mark, I think Mark's upstairs with the youth. Okay, Mark, I guess it has passed to you now as well. I don't know if that's going to happen with Mark or not. But we look at that, and that's just a lighthearted remembrance. But I was thinking about that. God is such God has such a sense of humor, because when Lighthouse began in those very, very early, here's something new, brand new. Who did God use to found Lighthouse? Of course, the Holy Spirit was there. If not, it wouldn't have happened. Brother Philip was around, and he was young. Oh, yeah, and there's Andrew, too. And they're holding hands now. The love of the Lord is so wonderful. But look at who God used to found Lighthouse. Brother Philip was young, but do you know who else he got to found Lighthouse, really? He got two retired ministers who were so old already in their retirement age that the denomination said, when they said, we feel God is calling us to Hong Kong, the church group, the denomination they are part of, said to them, you are too old to go out as missionaries and to do God's work. We will not send you. But God said to Mom and Dad Nolan, I'm sending you. I'm calling you. Brothers and sisters, never let man's word be the word that you listen to and that tells you what to do. Listen to God's word. Listen to God's voice. When this change came this time, we on the board were talking a little bit, and someone kind of said, maybe we need to start thinking about younger. Ouch. But then I started thinking about it, and I thought about my dad's age and my mom's age. And right now, I am exactly in the middle of their two ages when they first came to Lighthouse to found this church. And I received renewed vigor when I thought about that. God has great plans for us ahead as we're moving ahead. But I want to encourage us as a church to keep our eyes on what God has for us and not get too tied up in external solutions. God has answers for us, and God has directions for us. And I will be really honest with you. We are seeking God, and we will do what God says. And I'll tell you right now, too, I am seeking God, and I will do exactly what God says. I don't want to scare you, but I will tell you this. As we were looking at transitions, do you know what I said to the Lord very honestly? I said, God, here I am. Lighthouse is your church. It's not my church. If you want me to go somewhere else, if you want to bring someone else in, or whenever you do, God, it's your church. I'm submitted to you. And you lead, and you guide, and you direct this church. And I don't say that to scare anybody. But what I want to say is this. If we will ask, God will speak. If we will open our ears and listen, he will tell you what to do, and he will lead you, and he will guide you, because he has a good plan. And so I think about that first generation. Then we go kind of into the second generation of the church. How many of you are sort of in that second generation? From, say, about 5 years on to about maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. Raise your hand. Wave. That's most of us, right? That's most of the rest of us. And we've gone through this time. That time was a year of marriages, births. I remember I've told the story of Nat Nat before when we were out at Lung Ke. And he had, I remember Michelle walking around like this before Nat Nat came along. And I still remember Nat Nat, after he was born, running around Lung Ke with so much energy for 3 or 4 hours, running. And then the time came to leave Lung Ke. And we started walking out, those of us who've been to Lung Ke. And we know what it's like, right? It's like this. And Nat Nat got to the bottom of the mountain, and he looked up, and he burst into tears because it was so hot. And you know what I remember? I remember Andreas, right? Picking up Nat Nat, putting him on his shoulders. He may not even remember that, and walking up the mountain at least part of the way. And maybe others did as well, others as well. And that's part of it. That's that middle generation. And then we come into the most recent generation. Some of you are within the last 2 or 3 years or so. You're in this newer generation. And so what does God say to us? Because in that first generation, and I'm looking, as I said, I'm really speaking informally with you. In that first generation, if you want to think about it in this way, we have this beautiful passage. And this is God speaking to Abraham, because we've been talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the patriarchs. And he says, I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. Those of you in the beginning, you didn't know what Lighthouse was going to look like, except you knew that God was faithful as you went on. And at that time, God said, as he said to Abraham, I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. He is the same God. He's always faithful. And then we look at Deuteronomy 7:9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and who obey his commands. And so we have these beautiful promises. And you say, well, but that's to Abraham, and I'm not even Jewish. Got a verse for you. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That's New Testament. Got another verse for you. And what does it say? And now that you belong to Christ, you're the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. As we've said, when we look at the Old Testament, when God promised him descendants and land, that was something physical that Abraham could understand. But the true promises of God to Abraham and his descendants are all the blessings of life, all the blessings of fellowship, all the blessings of presence with God, all the blessings of provision. These are the promises of God to Abraham and to all his descendants, the spiritual descendants. And so that is you this morning. And so those of you who are in families, you may be the first Christian, the first real Christian in your family. What I want you to know is this morning. And what I want you to grab onto is this. If you are the first Christian, if you are the first Christian generation in your family, God is committed to you. You are in that family, and it is God's desire to bless your family through you. And the greatest blessing that God can give your family is not what you can put in your pocket, not what you can deposit in the bank, but what you can receive in your life. For now and for eternity. It's eternal life. And that is God's promise. So if you're the first descendant, if you're the first generation in your family that is a Christian family, start praying and keep praying for those that came before you, for those that have come after you. And if you don't have any that have come after you, start praying now. Start praying now that God will bless your descendants with his greatest blessings. This is God's plan, and this is God's desire for us. And then we keep on going a little bit further, and you've heard some testimonies this morning that were tough testimonies through hard times. And as I was preparing and as I was praying, God spoke to me about those of us who are going through tough times now and have grown discouraged. Those of us who are going through difficult times and have sort of lost hope. And have kind of said, this is the way it is. God also spoke to me about those of us in this church who have settled and felt like it's good enough as it is. Yeah, Lighthouse isn't a bad church. This is okay. Or who may even be disappointed at this point with the way things are, but, well, this is the way that it is. What I want to say to us this morning, whether this is personal or whether it is the church, if that is what we are feeling in our hearts, if that is what we are hearing, if we have come to the place in our personal lives, in our marriage relationships, in our family relationships, or in this church, I guess this is the way it's going to be. Yeah, it's not great, but it's not awful. It's good enough. God never says this is good enough. Did you know that? He never says this is good enough. For those of us who speak Chinese, ha yong yuan yong yuan meo shuo touhua touhua, good enough, as we would say in China. He never says that. You can read from Genesis to Revelation, and never once will you hear God say, this is good enough. And if this is what we feel, and if we have sort of lost hope, if our expectations have been tamped down in any area of our lives, marriage relationship, family relationship, business, church, in any of these areas, in our own lives as we're thinking about the future, I want to say to you this morning that that is the voice of the enemy. It is not God's voice. And you may say, no, 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 I'm not listening to the devil. Guess what the devil's voice sounds like? It sounds like your voice. It sounds like my voice when I have grown discouraged, when I've lost hope. It sounds like the voice of reason and rational thought. Well, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And I say to you this morning, God's voice to you, you've got to hear it. And if you are not hearing it, you've got to start digging wells and building altars until you hear the voice of God say to you, I have more for you. Good enough is not good enough. I say to you this morning, as your pastor, what God has put in my heart for Lighthouse. Good enough is not good enough. I'm excited. I have hope in my heart. I have expectation in my heart. I have anticipation in my heart. I don't believe it's going to be easy. I know there's going to have to be more prayer. I know that not only I, but others are going to have to get off our sitter and get on our knee bones for prayer as we seek the Lord. But God has good things in store because He's faithful to every generation. The promises that God gave when you first became a Christian, the promises that God gave to Lighthouse when this church was established, do you think it's just for them? God has promises for us now. God has purposes for us now. God has good for your life now. God has more for your marriage now. Is it easy? It's usually not, because the devil's going to fight you. But if the devil can get you to believe, this is the way it is, then he's got you where he wants you. The voice of God will say to you, there is hope. The voice of God will say to you, there is more. The voice of God will say to young people, some of whom are looking at the situation and thinking, what future is there for me here? What good can come out of this? What can I do? I say to you this morning, get together with God and listen to the voice of God. And God has something special for you. God has something good for you. Do we go through times of great distress? Yes, we do. I'm not making light of Steve's testimony this morning. And there's no criticism of that testimony that you've heard this morning. The Bible says, weeping endureth for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And God will get you through. And what is the name of our Jesus? The bright and morning star. And he will rise in our lives. There is hope. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to the voice of the Lord. I want to give you, as we come to we're just coming to a close this morning. We knew this was going to be a longer service today, but I want to encourage you this morning. And I want to give you an example from the Word of God, and we apply it to our own lives. In Exodus, you've heard me talk about this before. In Exodus 6, chapter 6, verse 2 through 9, we're just going to look at part of it. This is when they are slaves in Egypt, right? This is when everything is going bad, and God has spoken to Moses. And he says, Moses, tell my people I have seen their misery and their struggling. I'm going to come, and I'm going to deliver them. And then he performs all these miracles. And you know what it says? It says all the elders of the Israelites, they bowed down and they worshiped and they believed, right? They believed. That's what it says in the earlier chapters. And then trouble, worse trouble comes. Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, let our people go and this and that. And you know what Pharaoh does? Lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That's the New Living Translation. And he now tells them, make bricks without straw. You have to make just as many bricks. And some of you have had the word of God of hope in your hearts at some time, and then it just got harder and it just got worse, right? It just got worse. Okay, what's the example that we have for us? Let me read it for you very quickly. And so this is what God says to Moses. Look with me right here. God spoke to Moses telling him, I am the Lord and I have remembered my covenant. He's faithful to every generation. So what does it say right here? When it says the Lord, hey, those of you that read Chinese and speak Chinese, you have an advantage over the English speakers right now, because we look at that word and we just say, okay, Lord and God. But if you're a Chinese speaker this morning, you know what that word means, don't you? What name is that? What is it? What? There you go. It's Jehovah in Hebrew, Yahweh. And what does that mean? God could have used any name. He could have used any name. And he said to Moses, I am Jehovah, I am Yahweh, I am Yehovah, and it means I am who I am. It's the essence. It's the truthful. It's the character. It's the unchanging nature of God. And at that moment, God says, I am who I am. And what does he say in connection with it? He says, I have remembered my covenant. What was the covenant? I will give you a land. I will increase your descendants. I will be with you. I will be your God. A word of hope and encouragement. And God says, I am who I am. I am a God of truth. I am a God who fulfills his covenant and his promise. This morning, I urge you to stir up in your hearts the words that God has spoken to you as you've read his scriptures and your heart began to burn, but you've grown discouraged because it's gotten harder instead of better. He is who he says he is. He is a covenant-making and keeping God. And in their hard situation, he says, Moses, go tell them, I am who I said I am, and I've remembered my covenant. And that means I'm going to keep my covenant. He's faithful to every generation. That is who he is. It's not just what he does. It is who he is. And then he tells him, listen to this. Therefore, tell the Israelites. So first of all, I am the Lord. And then verse 6. Therefore, tell the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will deliver you. It goes on and on and on. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. You will know that I am the Lord your God who delivered you. And then it goes a little bit further. And he says, I will bring you to the land that I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here's faithful to every generation. And I will give it to you as a possession. And how does he end the promise? Read it with me. I am the Lord. Same word again. I am Yehovah. I am Jehovah. I am that I am. I'm a God who makes promises. I'm a God who keeps promises. I am faithful. God can be found, counted on. You can lean everything that you are on God, and he won't stumble, and he won't tremble. He is who he says he is. He will keep his word to you. He will keep his word to Lighthouse. He is a faithful God, a God who gives us hope, a God who leads us in his ways. And now I'm so sorry, after that such encouraging part, to tell you what comes next. Moses told the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and bondage of slavery. And I have to include that because, brothers and sisters, sometimes we get so discouraged we stop listening, don't we? Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, I know. But my circumstances, but my pain, but my sorrow, but my pocketbook, but my health. And it's gone on so long. It had gone on so long for the children of Israel that their discouragement, they just stopped listening to God. Nevertheless, God did what he said he would do. And I say to you this morning, Lighthouse, as a church and as individuals, he is a faithful God. Start listening to him. Stop listening to the voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy sounds like your voice, as you say. It's just the way it is. It sounds like the voice of circumstances. It sounds like the voice of, let's be real now, reality. This is how it is. You've got to be sensible. Most of the time, that's the voice of the devil. That's the voice of the enemy. And start listening to the God of hope. You know this so well. Look with me. You know this so well. What type of God is God? He says, for I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. They are plans for good and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And right now, if you don't have a lot of hope and you don't feel like there's a lot for your future, that's the devil. That's not God. That's the devil. That's not God. God has hope. What is one of his names? May the God of hope, that's one of his titles, fill you with joy and fill you with hope. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, I encourage you. For the Lord is good. He's Jehovah. He is who he is. What is he? He's good. His unfailing love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues to every generation, to every generation, to your generation, to your children's generation. Don't give up. Don't give up on your children. Listen, don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your marriage. Go to God. Go to God. Don't give up on your situation. Go to God. And let the God of hope speak hope into your heart. He is who he says he is. Amen. Amen. Panina's going to come and lead us in a song of response to the Lord this morning. And as you let me just pray for you as she comes. And would you just talk to the Lord right now? I know he was speaking to you, and I know he was speaking to the church as well. So let's just pray as they come up. They're getting ready. Don't worry about it. We know they're going to do well. But let me pray for you, and you pray for yourself right now. God, we thank you this morning. Lord, I pray for the fourth floor as well, for the young people, for the kids. Lord, I pray for everybody who's watching us online or who's going to watch online a little bit later today or this week. Lord, I pray for every single person who is here this morning. We hear your word. We accept your word. We listen to you, O God, who the one I am who I am, a God of truth, a God who keeps his word, and we hear your voice to us. We close our ears to the enemy, and God, we're going to start listening to the voice of hope in our situations, in our finances, in our families, in our marriages, in our studies, in our relationship with our parents, in our work situation. Lord, just in our futures, as we look at how could it ever be any better, is there a way? God, there's a way. For you are good. Your love is everlasting. And you're faithful to every generation.
We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before.
And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy in believing, that you may have hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, dear brothers and sisters. God is a faithful God to every generation. We're so glad you were with us today. Don't forget to grab some of these board members and receive your gift, because it will remind you of the faithfulness of God. If you need prayer, ask somebody to pray with you. Dig into God this week. Don't just walk out and say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But get together with God and receive hope in your life. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Amen. Amen. Thank you.